Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chase McCabe live today from MTSU. Blue Raiders on the field practicing right now. Got QBs in front of us, receivers. Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin with you. We'll talk to the voice of the Blue Raiders, Chip Walters, coming up in just a little bit, as they've been nice enough to have us out here today. Joe, the Titans made a little news this week, and it's kind of gotten around the NFL.
Woo, but, has it?
Mike Vrabel announced that Terrell Williams, who is the defensive line coach and the assistant head coach, that's a title he gave him this year, longtime coach, is going to be the head coach against Chicago on Saturday. And I'm going to be honest, I think it's a great idea to give, you know, a coach that has aspirations of being a head coach, give him some reps at that position. Mike Vrabel will still be involved in things, right, obviously, and be on the trip. But it's in some ways unprecedented, and I think you could see teams around the league look at this and possibly do it.
I was like, what's going on here? Because we know the preseason is an absolute joke, right,
yeah,
for most of us. But for the guys in the second, third team trying to make a living, it's their life. So I was like, it's Vrabel trying to get some headlines again. The more you read into it, think about it, you know, why not? It's preseason. And these games do not count.
No.
I don't know why they punt in these games. I don't know. I mean, they don't count. Just have fun with it. So if you got a coach out there, and I was listening to Charles Robinson, is that his name? Was on
Yahoo Sports.
With Joe Rexler this morning, talking about that when the Denver coach came in and he didn't understand game situations as a head coach, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what if Vrabel has got the flu and he can't coach a game? So I think it's a great – the more I think about it, the more I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, and look, it may – you know, is it going to lead to Terrell Williams being a head coach this year? I don't know. Maybe not. But it's certainly going to give him that opportunity – And I think it's a good way to get more names out there, because so many times we see some of the same names every year up.
It's like baseball managers,
right?
Jeez.
And so it allows teams to get a look at other names. So I think it's cool, and like I said, I think you're going to see other teams do this. Like, do I ever see Belichick or somebody like that? You know, but could Andy Reid turn things over to, you know, one of his coordinators or an assistant
coach? Obviously,
why
not? I mean, it's a preseason game. I mean,
sure,
and you might as well go ahead and do that, but I think it'd be fine. And just, it's one game. It's the Bears opening preseason game.
And it gives – Vrabel can have a different perspective, too. He could stand on the sideline and not have to worry about managing the game and just watch and observe and evaluate, or he could go sit in the booth.
What do you think? He's got to sit in the booth. Do you want your boss hovering over your shoulder?
I think he's going to bounce back and forth. Like, I could see him doing the first half from the sideline and the second half from the booth.
It'd be great if he could zip line down.
Yeah, that would be. I mean,
out the booth.
You know, maybe he shows up on the broadcast. I don't know. But
probably will, yeah.
But it's certainly interesting for him to do that. And I think one of the things he's going to be evaluating, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this, is the backup quarterback battle between Will Levis and Malik Willis, because – I think a lot of us didn't think it was going to be a battle that you trade up in the second round for a guy in Will Levis. That's the guy. And ultimately, he probably wins the job. But Malik Willis has looked really good.
I'd love for Malik Willis to come in and make that a competition and just be like, all right, here I am. Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
Because everybody's canceled him out. I mean, he's an afterthought now. Everybody. And then after a week of camp, like, you know, he's looking pretty good. Vrabel made those comments about him, how he's looking good in camp. Because that would just completely flip the narrative of what's going on at camp and make a lot of people like, okay, well, hold on a second here and to see what would happen. I would love for Willis to have a great preseason and to really change what's going on as far as the talk about backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a confidence about him. And I think that we lose sight of that sometimes, of just how much a little confidence, how far it can take you. And, you know, like, look at Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks looks like a different receiver.
Right, that's right.
He's just chiseled and big, but he's also playing with confidence. And so I think you're seeing that from a lot of these second-year guys. Because you think about how hard it is to be a rookie in the NFL. You go from the combine, which is a completely different kind of training. Then you're going through your first training camp, and you know, you're just having to deal with all these things. Now they it's old hat, as they like to say, for some of these guys, and they can just focus on playing football.
Well, not only that, but you come with Treylon Burks comes in last year, like A.J. Brown's gone, so now yep. you got to step up immediately. And all the pressure that was put upon him, and then he had the asthma, and he wasn't out there mm-hmm. for practice. And he's like, what's going on with him? Oh, this is a terrible pick. Because, you know, people are quick to put somebody down and knock him down as quickly as they can. So I think it's going to be a big, good year for Treylon Burks because all that stuff's gone now. Now you've been a year in the league. You got Hopkins on the other side of you. You're more familiar with the offense. And so I think it'll be a good year for him.
Yeah, I do too. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin today at MTSU is they're going through practice right now. Beautiful day, not too hot
it
either,
is.
which is awesome. But of course, the big headline was the signing of DeAndre Hopkins, and I got to tell you, being out there for a few days, I mean, watching him and Ryan Tannehill just instantly get on the same page. It's not easy to do, but it's
right.
happened, and I can't wait to see it. Against the Saints in week one, because we know they're not sniffing the preseason.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, Kamara being out for the Saints that first game, that's a huge hit for them. They got a new quarterback coming in with Derek Carr. So there's a lot of things in the Titans' favor that opening game. You know, they beat them in 15, you know, so not saying that means anything today. But to get that opening win on the road and start out 1-0, it's huge. It's so huge. You know, what's that stat that you start out 0-2 to make the playoffs? It's like 12% chance of making the playoffs. So get that opening win, and then coming home the week after that, huge, man.
By the way, a texter on our text line said on Monday, please let me know when Paul Kaharsky is no longer on the show and filling in. And then today says, I absolutely love hearing Big Joe on the radio. Great show today. You have a fan.
That's my only one. It might be my daughter. They probably sent that in.
And then David says, is that Stone Cold Steve Austin next to you,
It is. It is. Same everything except the bank account.
The AFC South, I went on a show in Louisiana yesterday to preview the you know, it's that time of year. We do previews.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, everybody's picking the Jags to win the AFC South. And the division's not very good. The national prognosticators think the Titans won't even make the playoffs. What is kind of your view of the division right now?
I think it's terrible. It's the worst division in all sports. Soccer, baseball, bad. It's the worst. Texans are terrible. Colts are terrible. Jags have got a lot to prove. So I know last year, you know, with the Titans losing the Jags in the last game of the season, you know, I get all that. But it's still a terrible division. I mean, the Colts are awful. And they're going to be awful. And that Jonathan Taylor drama that's going up there, the Texans are starting a rookie quarterback down there. They haven't, you know, I know D'Amico Ryan's was a great
I think he's going to be a good
coordinator,
coach.
But he's going to take a while to get acclimated down there.
He's a good player, too.
So if the Titans can, you know, win those four games, split with Jacksonville, that's 5 wins. You got 5 wins. Now you got to go and, you know, there's 12 games left. And if you go 6-6 on that, you're 11-5 or 11-6 and you move forward. But it's just a terrible division.
Yeah. I think it's a bad division, but I think it might end up being a little bit better than people think.
How so?
Because I think the Titans are going to be better than people think.
Okay.
And so I think that Jacksonville will be good, but I got to see it to believe it. I got to see them put back-to-back good seasons together. And last year, you know, we sit here. We're going to end up with a wide receiver in our lap here in a second. Last year, you know, they won the division. But they won the division because the Titans collapsed down the stretch.
That's right.
You know, they were – I think Jacksonville was a step ahead of where maybe they were supposed to be. And I think maybe Indy could possibly be that this year. I like Richardson, but I wouldn't start him yet.
I would go
to Minshew.
Yeah, it'd be a tough year for them. But I like Trevor Lawrence. I think
I do too. I think – I look,
got
I,
that moxie.
I think he can be an MVP in this league. Now, he's going to have tough competition with Mahomes and Burrow and Josh Allen, but I certainly think he can be, you know, one of those guys and be in that category.
I don't think Trevor Lawrence gives a hoot about MVP.
No.
I think great players don't care about – you know, what's that great quote Walter Payton always said? When you're good, you tell everybody. When you're great, everybody tells you.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and so – I think that's the thing. And so I think Lawrence, I think, doesn't care about being the MVP. No. So I think that's a sign of, like, team first. Let's win ball games, and whatever happens, happens.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get to some of your texts on the Titans. I have a question for Big Joe coming up next.
Okay.
When it comes to coaches. We will do that here live today, MTSU, Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, live today at MTSU. Football practice is going on as they get ready for the season. Little install going on right now. And then, obviously, they will, as Coach Stock was saying earlier, about 10, 11 days out, prepare for Alabama.
There's one fly that won't leave us alone.
No.
That is really, it's like the fly.
Don't talk about Chip like that.
It's the fly from the Breaking Bad episode. It's just hanging around here. It's just driving me insane. So we'll do that. Yeah, 24 days, MTSU takes Alabama down at Bryant-Denny Stadium. So it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that game. You know, and Coach talked about playing them in 2015. I remember 2002. Middle almost beat Bama down in Birmingham, and they were going in. They fumbled the ball on the two or three yard line, and that really stopped what they were trying to do. So it was, yeah. So you know, people are like, oh, Alabama. There, you know, you never know. I mean, you just never know.
No,
what
it's
could
what makes it so much fun.
And now with the portal, so many guys moving around, and you know, guys that you know, second team over here want to be, think they could be first team and transfer these schools and. You just never see – it's never been so much parity now in college football as we've ever seen before.
Let me see if I can – I'm going to find – so it's September 2nd. Is that when it is? I'm going to see if I can find the line on it.
Yeah.
But let's say hello to Chip. Chip Walters is with us, voice of the Blue Raiders, that you will hear on 93.3 Classic Hits, football, men's basketball, Chip and Big Joe Dubin.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I mean,
I'm excited.
I'm excited too because I know it's going to have a lot of energy.
It will, know? And certainly tickled to know that we know where everything.
Yeah,
football, men's basketball is going to be on 93.3 Classic Hits, which I am a huge Yacht Rock guy.
Yeah.
So. I may be sending in requests for the playlist.
You send them on. You send them on. But yeah, we're excited. We're excited to be here. You know, Coach Stock was talking about Mark Owens putting this together, kind of a radio row where we can sit here and watch practice. This is fantastic to be out here because you know Joe and I love football. So just to take in the sounds and the smells and the sights of practice and everything going on, it's fun.
You know, we were talking earlier that you know here today. Within the last hour, you got construction sounds of where you know they're tearing the bleachers out of the upper deck of the north end zone for the part of the Build Blue project. They're doing all of that. You had they get the music cranked up out here for pre-practice and stretching. So you had all that. You've got wide receivers now coming through your tent over here.
Yeah.
Now that the quarterback drills are going on,
I'm ready to catch one. Let's go.
It is exciting, and I really hate to give Mark Owens much credit, but I thought this was a fantastic idea, and it's great to have so many outlets here and to put eyeballs on this program that. Has been, you know, really successful, hardworking. You know, they're blue collar not only because they're Blue Raiders, but this is a hardworking group, and that's the attitude that they like to have. And you know, coming off back-to-back bowl wins, interesting way that Conference USA has reconfigured itself with, you know, a group of, you know, there's some star power in the coaching ranks. In Conference USA this year, you've got Rich Rodriguez at Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Sonny Cumbie still at Louisiana Tech. You've got Jerry Kill at New Mexico State now. So you've got a Mike McIntyre, Nashville native, is at FIU. Rick has been here for now 18 years.
Yeah.
So he's the dean of coaches in Conference USA, and there is a buzz about this group. This team of what they've got coming back, does that mean you're going to go to Alabama and win? No, but I think this group is not going to be intimidated going to Tuscaloosa or Columbia, Missouri, and that is all, you know, kind of window dressing, getting ready for what you're going to face in your Conference USA season.
How many years have you been the voice now for MTSU?
This will be my 15th year in the play-by-play chair. It will be my 33rd year as a member of the broadcast team.
So your first game was at Clemson?
In 91?
No, 15 years at the voice.
Oh, that would be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And, I can tell you one thing about that the media parking lot at Clemson is a long way away from the stadium.
Oh no!
And it's rather hilly between those two spots. But yeah, so looking forward to it. Been fun, you know, and hope there's a lot more years to come and a lot of great memories. And we're going to make some more.
Chase had a great question to Chris Massaro, which I want to ask you. There's been a lot of big wins. What's your favorite one?
My favorite one was probably at Georgia Tech. And
I was still in school.
Yeah, and when we went down there after Georgia Tech came here, and I remember, you know, here's Georgia Tech, wishbone, run. Second play of the game, they threw an 80-yard touchdown pass here. And it kind of got middle in a hole, and it was hard to come back from. But we go back to Georgia Tech the next year. Benny Cunningham is the running back. He runs absolutely wild on Tech's defense.
Yep.
Middle wins by three touchdowns or so. And Middle was in control the whole game. It was kind of the football version of the Michigan State game where we got a lead, big lead early, kind of like Miami in football as well, where you jumped out early and kept that lead. But I remember like mid-fourth quarter, the way that the press box is set up at Georgia Tech, I looked down to my right, and you know, Wes Durham and I were kind of passing hand signals to each other. And with midway through the fourth quarter, I looked down and we both kind of shrugged our shoulders, palms in the air, saying, "You know, I don't know how this, you know, but it was a heck of a day for the Blue Raiders, I'll tell you."
Was that 2010?
2012.
2012. Yeah.
2012.
That was the year when, was it the Sun Belt was being mean to Middle, wouldn't let him. Like Middle went 8-4 that year, I think.
Probably, yeah. That's probably about right. Yeah. So, yeah, that was about it. Interesting, you know, this year with the, you know, it's been interesting with all the changes that have happened and the move to Conference USA, which, in my opinion, 100% the right move when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun Belt has done a great job in building up their league in football. And it was kind of interesting how when some things were all – when some of the chess pieces were moving around a couple of years ago, that, you know, some of the reaction between folks in the two different leagues. But, you know, they're doing their thing. Middle's doing – or the Conference USA's doing its thing this year. And personally, I'm excited about the October schedule. I know with Stock, it really causes some issues with coaches because of the lack of – recovery and prep time when you have less than a week to prepare for games. But, you know, I've always told people, I said, I would much rather midweek games have done well here. Students come out, things like that.
Sure.
I would much rather play midweek games in Conference USA cities in October than to play midweek games in MAC cities in November. You know, that Wednesday night game in Buffalo on November the 18th is, you know, not something I'd be looking forward to.
You're exactly right. Will we ever stop talking about that Miami game, or should we?
No.
Why? No.
It should not ever. And, you know, it was one of those things, obviously a very well-prepared Middle team that took advantage of every opportunity it had that day. If I'm correct, the first two offensive snaps that Miami made were interceptions. One was a pick six, and the first three snaps they made offensively were turnovers. So the defense set the tone for that game. The defense set the tone in the bowl game against San Diego State. How Middle won that bowl game with minus 69 yards rushing, I'm not sure how they did it, but I promise you Jordan Ferguson was a big part of that, who just signed with the Seattle Seahawks. Ferg not only caught a touchdown pass as a defensive lineman, came back and got an interception as a defensive lineman to seal the win after Middle got the lead back, in part thanks to our man Zeke, who we talked to at lunch the other day, and kind of got on him a little bit about, hey, Zeke Rankin, Gary Rankin's son, the longtime head coach at Riverdale, Alcoa, now at Boyd Buchanan. But Zeke Rankin set a Hawaii Bowl record for 52-yard field goal or what it was. He had that record for about 15 minutes because the San Diego State kicker came back and kicked one a yard farther. But you know, defense, kicking game, and I think this offense is going to be really exciting. I'm above being excited to see what Nick Vadiato is going to do this year because he has such a unique story in that 2 years ago he started five games and was the MVP of the Bahamas Bowl. Then Coach Stock sat him down and said, hey, Nick, you know, we asked you to do something for this team, and that is give up a year of eligibility for five games. We're going to get you that year back. And so he ended up being redshirted after – a year after being a bowl MVP, and now here he is back with in control of this team and very much the leader of this group. And I think he is as talented a guy at quarterback as you could hope to have and a tremendous leader on the offensive side.
That's what you need.
Yeah, no doubt. I will say this. You talk about the Miami game, and obviously that's the biggest one and we'll remember, but your calls personally – because I think I was running the game, was Michigan State in basketball. Ugh. And then you guys win, and I'm doing my show on Saturdays the next day, and I'm like, Chip, can you come on, talk about it? You come on. And I end up getting Kermit because I think I texted him, and I was the first interview with Kermit after that win. But that call is still one of my all-time favorites.
Well, I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun, and, you know, it's kind of one of those that – you know, the week before that game was the conference championship against Old Dominion.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it had a very dramatic end to it. And that call at that end of that game that won the conference championship, you know, it was funny. Kyle and I were driving back from Birmingham and had the radio on, ESPN radio or whatever, and heard that call probably a dozen times between Birmingham and Murfreesboro coming home from that. But the thing about the Michigan State game was Middle jumped out 15-0. And, you know, you're hoping, you know, as a broadcaster that you have that dramatic moment at the end. But that one just played out. It was just a 9-point win, you know, against maybe the best team in the country. And it's one of those days that I'll never forget. I've been very lucky. I was a student here. I was a freshman and saw Middle beat Kentucky in the 82 Mideast Regional in Nashville, and then able to be on the radio for the win against Michigan State. So I've been blessed as far as that's concerned.
Had they played anybody but Syracuse, and that zone of Syracuse was just
– Well, and you know what? The next year – you go and just clobber Minnesota, and then had to play Butler. So they got two really bad matchups following big wins. So, I mean, and that's a big part of it when you get to that time of the year is what the matchups are going to be like.
Right.
And you know, Middle won a lot of games with their 1-3-1 zone, but the Syracuse 2-3, there's just no room to do anything. Those guys were so long. But both heck of a year. Little tip, the men's basketball team's going to Italy next week for a foreign tour, and they're going to play a couple games over there. I know Tennessee's team is over there right now. Georgia had been over there the week before, but they've got a couple of games, and I've been in contact. My man Giddy Potts is playing in Milan, and we are going to be in Milan for a game and a couple of nights. So the hope is we get everything worked out to where we get a chance to run into
nice
to Giddy while we're over there.
If you get over there, take Giddy to – there's a great restaurant over there called Fazoli's.
Fazoli, yeah. I thought Sbarro was another one looking at. So
just take it's on me. Let's take him to Fazoli's.
You mean Picnic Pizza from Hickory Hollow has not put an outlet in Rome yet?
They should. My goodness, yes.
There was I think it was King of Queens that there was a scene and Jerry Stiller was on it, and it's like he's talking to I think that was the show, and he's like talking to his son, he goes, yeah, let's go get, there's a great little Italian joint. It's called Domino's. He's like, do you mean Domino's?
That's one thing you're going to hear is Joe and I have the same movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
We have the soundtracks of the same movies running in our head all the time. So we'll try to keep the inside jokes to a minimum, but we'll have fun.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
You're the best, Chip.
The games on 93.3 Classic Hits. Chip, thanks for stopping by. Good to see you.
Appreciate it much. Thanks.
Chip Walters, voice of the Blue Raiders. More with Chase and Big Joe. In fact, let's give some tickets away right now. You got to answer this trivia question, though, because we were talking about some great Blue Raiders. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, Dynamite and Rampage at Bridgestone Arena next Wednesday, August 16th. But you have to answer this question. Former Blue Raider great Richie James, still in the league. He's currently with the Chiefs. I'll give you that. Who drafted him in the seventh round in 2018? Who drafted Richie James in the seventh round in 2018? First person to get that right will win a pair of tickets to AEW next Wednesday night. Live today at MTSU, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live today.
Live.
MTSU live. You are looking live. Today, MTSU football practice going on right now. As I do feel like we're going to end up, you know, with a wide receiver or a DB, you know, right in your lap.
Yeah, but it's funny because they're all like toe-tapping. I mean, they're getting these passes are perfect, and these guys are just making some unbelievable catches. So it's more than just like, oh, I'm out of practice. I mean, there's a lot of action going on and activity here. So it's good to be here to see what's happening, what's going on. We had Coach Stockstill on earlier in the show, which was great, and a lot of information with him about the team, the season, his career here, and everything's happening. But, you know, Chase, Middle's got a career with these coaches. Charles Murphy was here 22 years. Of course, the legend, Boots Donnelly's here 20 years. Yep. Rick Stockstill now 18 years. The very first coach, look at that picture of Alfred E. Miles, 1913. Alfred looks like Nick Kieser.
He does.
Nick Kieser was the coach of MTSU from 1913 to 1916.
So Murphy was before Boots.
Yep.
Or I guess there was a couple in between, but for Boots Donnelly. So I had a coach at FRA that played here at Middle and played for Coach Donnelly, and the stories were fantastic.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, Coach Stock was kind of alluding to it, like, before he came on with us. I mean, they're doing practice right now. Now, that this is it. They might do some walkthroughs or things, but, I mean, when you were playing, this was probably practice 2 of 3.
Yep. Well, it was. You know, it was like you'd go in the morning from, like, 8 to 10, and you'd go in, do meetings, do lunch, and come back out from 3 to 5, and it was just that's why you always tell, you know, Dave Casper, a great tight end for the Oakland Raiders, had a great quote years ago talking about training camp. He said, all I do is make myself numb for about 5 weeks. And I'm like, God, that is so perfect. Just go out there and do it. Because back in the day for the NFL, training camps when you got in shape.
Yeah.
Because most of those guys wouldn't sold insurance or cars during the offseason. So so training camp like six,
there
7 weeks.
There wasn't OTAs or
minicamp. There's none of that. You'd show up like, all right, for 6 weeks we're going to get you in shape for the opening game. That's the way it went. Now it's a full-time thing. And I don't know, part of me thinks why that's so much energy. You don't give your body time to rest any.
Well, I mean, yes and no. But, I mean, like – Derek DeMace, you know, was talking about being at training camp. Like, they used to do two-a-days.
Yep.
You know, and they don't anymore. And because obviously medicine's come a long way. We know more about the body. We know more about concussions. And, you know, the players negotiated for less practice time. And in some ways, I think that's good. And in some ways, I think that's bad. Because I don't have the numbers in front of me. But, you know, if you're not used to getting hit and your body's not used to taking that hit, even though you're reducing the hits, that could, you know, lead to more injury.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, well, we don't want to hit because you might get injured out there. But if you go in the mindset,
yeah,
and I've heard Derek talk about this, well, if you go in the mindset, I'm going to get injured, I'm going to get injured? Well, you're going to get injured.
Right.
Because you're just setting yourself up to get injured. Just, but if you go out there and just practice and whatever happens, happens, then you just go from there.
Yeah, exactly. So we did we get a winner for our trivia question there, Nick?
We did.
Okay.
Dylan Lynch.
Dylan, okay. Said?
The 49ers.
That is correct. Richie James, drafted by the 49ers. Now he's with the Chiefs. Richie's had a nice career.
He was with the Giants for a little bit, too, as well.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he's I mean, he's bounced around, but he's made it work and been a really good returner.
So I asked you earlier about the NFL team of the most Hall of Famers. I would have missed this. You could give me five guesses. I would have missed this.
Okay. So you asked me, and I the first team I said was the Packers because that just made sense. You said no.
Packers are number two. They have 33 Hall of Famers.
So –
you guess, I'll tell you. I've got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
I feel like
six.
It's got to be an older team.
Okay.
But you said you never would have guessed it.
Nope. And now that I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I should have gotten this correct, but I didn't.
So it's not an obvious team.
Nope. So if you guess it, you can name teams out there, and I'll tell you if they're in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, top 7. But there's a tie for second and a tie for
– okay, so third. Where are the Cowboys?
Cowboys are fourth. They have 32 Hall of Famers.
Packers are second. Bills?
Are not.
Mm. Vikings?
Are not.
Really?
Bears?
Bears are a good one.
Bears are number one.
That's a good guess, Nick.
Stop, Bears.
I figured it was one of those older teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's Butkus, Gale Sayers. Yeah. Then you go with the 85 team.
Ditka.
Now I'm going to go to the SNL.
It was portal. A joint effort over here in the back right. Here in the box.
Ditka.
We got two guys back over here that helped with the. They didn't look, but they just guessed.
85 Bears, Singletary, yep. Richard Dent, Walter Payton.
I mean, half that team's in the whole thing.
Should be. Yeah. So all right. So you got number one, you got number two, and we got number four. So.
I'll tell you a funny story. So I was bored yesterday. I got home kind of and when I get home from work, sometimes I'll like sit down and I'll get on my phone and look at something on Instagram or YouTube or whatever. And I started watching old wrestling videos.
Okay.
And so there was this WCW from like 97 that was Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, they're the Four Horsemen, and they have Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yeah.
The former Bear.
Yeah.
And he was terrible. Like, he was a terrible wrestler. He was terrible on the mic. But he had, like, a short run in WCW. And he cuts this promo, and he's like, I played for the greatest football team ever in 1985, and I learned about making sacrifice. And like, I mean, and look, he was, I guess, a key part of that team.
Heck yeah, he was.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. But you know what's happening with him, right?
Yeah, he's. I know he's not doing well.
He's got, I think he's some form of ALS, yeah. And he's pretty bad. So
yeah, but
terrible.
But it just reminded me of that when you talk about that 85 team. Obviously, that was 2 years before Chaser came to this earth, but
still doesn't. But you've done a good job of knowing history.
I mean, yeah, my dad talked about it all the time. You know, and the Super Bowl Shuffle, and
I wasn't alive when the Beatles started, but yeah. I know the Beatles. So yeah, but that 85 Bears could arguably be the best team.
The one loss was what, Miami?
Miami on a Monday Night Football game,
and they should have won that game.
Should have won that game. Yeah. And here's how much stones the Chicago Bears had. The next morning, they fly back from Miami that night, early morning. The next morning, they do the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah.
Mid-season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mid-season. Can you imagine if a team did that today? They'd be just roasted for doing that and not win at all.
No.
But they knew they were going to win it all. All right, so you got number one. You got number two. Number three, well, tied for second, I should say, with 33 Hall of Famers. This one surprised me. Shocked me.
Okay, so this is a this is a little off the beaten path.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last one that went in the Hall of Fame. Now, they've got a Hall of Famer playing on their team now who's been there the whole time that Jeff Fisher drafted. Uh-oh.
Jeff Fisher drafted. Oh, the Rams?
The Rams. Aaron Donald. But
yeah, but, I mean, they – okay. So that makes a little sense because they go back to – weren't they – Chicago at one time. I mean, they've been around a long time.
They've been around a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got Merlin Olsen. You got Deacon Jones. He's got I'm losing other people in that. Jack Youngblood.
Well, yeah. The running back that runs his mouth.
Eric Dickerson.
Thank you.
Eric Dickerson. Yeah, so there's Kevin Green is considered in that. Yeah. Jerome Bettis is considered in that.
Yeah.
I told you this, the Seahawks, I don't get to the break and say it. The Seahawks claim like 8 Hall of Famers, but some of those they claim are Jerry Rice, who played there for a year.
Yeah.
Franco Harris.
Yeah.
Played there for a year. Warren Moon played there for just a little bit. And they claim John Randall from the Vikings, who played there for 1 year.
That'd be like the Titans claiming Randy Moss.
Or Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you got Bears 35, Packers 33, Rams 33, Cowboys at 32. There's another team tied the Cowboys in that same division. Two teams in that same division have 32.
Redskins.
Redskins Commanders. Commanders or whatever they're
going to be Giants.
Called. That's it.
Yeah.
And then Pittsburgh 30, San Francisco 29.
Huh. How many do the Oilers Titans have? I mean, Bruce, Warren Moon, Earl Campbell.
Devin Bethea. Munchak.
Munchak. Bud should be.
8, 9 maybe?
Yeah. Huh. Very interesting.
It is. Thank you for that.
We'll put a bow on things from MTSU. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe live today at MTSU. There's practice ongoing here. Had a little fun with our Hall of Fame discussion there, but watching it's fun to watch the different drills, the individual drills that they go through in practice.
Well, they're all offensive ones that offenses should succeed most for the most part. You know, because the quarterback's got 9 seconds to throw the ball back there and all that other stuff that goes on. But it's still fun. And that's why I tell people, you know, like, are the Titans scrimmaging the Vikings next week? Are they a little
– Yeah, they'll do joint practices with them.
So go watch that. The preseason games are a yawner. Those joint – I tell you, when Brady came here in 2019 for the Patriots in their joint practices, he carved up the Titans secondary. And I know they won the playoffs and all. I get all that stuff. But that day in practice, Brady – carved up the secondary. Meanwhile, Mariota was throwing airmail passes that were hitting Tracy Cornett at Channel 4. I mean, that was he was awful that day. And that's what I'll never forget. That's the day when we thought, like, this, he's not going to last the whole season, because Tannehill was having a pretty good camp that day and was not bad. And then Mariota gets in and just, I mean, he's like, he's playing, he's bounce passing, he's throwing things into the pond. It was just a terrible day for Mariota. Wow. You know, Brady was just doing Brady stuff.
Was that the day that Beasley got yelled at for trying to?
He did.
Justin Beasley.
I'll never forget.
That was awesome.
I'd seen Brady on the field about 30 yards away when we covered the playoff game. But when Brady walks by, I mean, he's gigantic.
Yeah, he's a
his
big
hands
dude.
Were as big as your head. I mean, it was huge. And I was like, this guy is gigantic. He's like every bit of 6'5" and a half. Then you see why, then he gets out there and all that. But, yeah, but after practice, everybody just kind of swarms him.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, and he was trying to catch up with Vrabel and everything.
Matt Castle shows up. And it was one of those things where the Patriots PR wasn't ready for that. And all these people show up, and it was something else.
Well, it's funny. The Titans will have a joint practice with the Patriots later this camp to wrap up the preseason, but. Not as much hype with them now as it was then.
No, not at all.
Because Vrabel always made sure to play Brady in the preseason, and they would do those joint practices. I mean, they did it down in Tampa, too.
That's right. Yeah, so it was – if you can, I know everybody's not – can't get out there and watch those, but you see much more with the one-on-one drills that are happening. Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Nice pass there. Okay, so what are the rules with this practice? Because, you know, with the Titans, it's on lockdown that you can't – you can be there, but you can't really talk about what's going on.
Great story. Years ago, I'm the Channel 4. I'm covering a practice, and I asked Coach Stocks. I said, hey, where can I go? What can I do? What can I not do? He said, you can go wherever you want. Just don't get hit. Swear to God.
Pretty good
so
start.
He gave me access everywhere, and that's what, you know, you like at this level. I mean, the access, and they appreciate you. I'm not saying the Titans don't appreciate you, but they appreciate MTSU. They appreciate you being here, being live here today. They enjoyed that. So he's like, yeah, just don't get hit anywhere.
Here's my thing, and this is what's always cracked me up about coaches, especially like – you know, and Vrabel's in this category, but Butch Jones was the worst at this. Save it's like we got it. We want you to talk about our program, but we're not going to let you see anything.
Yep,
because it might give away trade secrets. And I'm like, do you really think that something that you were to go out there and film and put on a 3-minute sports block for
right.
Channel 4?
I got something for you.
That Nick Saban is going to tune in and go, oh, I know what Vanderbilt's doing now.
So 2015, Mularkey takes over for the Titans. So I'm at practice, the last play of practice. They do this reverse to Mariota where he ends up throwing back across the end zone to Anthony Fasano.
Yep.
So I show it in my highlights, right? So that's a Wednesday practice. It was the last play we could show. So I show it on the news that night. So word gets back to me from several sources, this is on a Saturday night, that they're afraid to run that play because every team watches, allegedly, the sportscast to see what they're doing. So they were afraid the Saints, Sean Payton, was watching my sportscast. This was a real thing. They put the play in Sunday morning.
Right.
They were afraid that they're going to show that. So you think Sean Payton's like, let's see this big, fat, bald guy on NBC in Nashville, what he's got for us. So they didn't. They woke up. So they put it in. That's won the game. So that next week of practice, Mularkey comes over to me and says, "Hey," and just says, "Hey, don't shoot this," and tells and backs up that story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Hey, coach, no problem. Whatever you want me, I'm just."
But it was still an open period.
It was an open period.
Well, that's their fault.
Exactly. Exactly. So I learned that they clip all these sports casts around.
Was Fisher that way? Did Fisher have, I mean, I thought
he would walk over and say, don't shoot this. It was like a reverse or a certain formation.
Yeah.
He didn't mind.
But I felt like, and Vrabel has a good relationship with the media. I'm not saying he doesn't. But I felt like Jeff, it was a different time where he could do that. Like, he knew everybody and was pretty forthcoming on a lot of things.
Yeah, like fake punts in practice, he'd walk over and say, hey
can y'all not? Camera's
not,
down, whatever.
Not today. I'll show this if you don't mind. I'm wearing a different pair of.
I did a story one time on Fisher. He had did a different pair of Oakley sunglasses during training camp. So he had like 28 different pairs of sunglasses. And he, so I said, hey, we'll talk your sunglasses. He's like, slow day in sports. That's what he told me.
That's pretty good.
I was like, well, yeah, that's what we got, man.
Big Joe, thanks for hanging out today. This is fun.
Appreciate it, man. I love 93.3 Classic Hits, MTSU.
Yep. That is
in the big city.
That is where they're going to be in Nashville in the 95-1 in Murfreesboro. Looking forward to that. That will do it for us from MTSU practice today, but stick around. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.